Since 1978, there have been 4 documented cases of inhaled anthrax in the United States. 3 of them have occurred this month. With the new case today and others suspected, we turn now to NPR health correspondent Richard Knox to discuss what is known and what is not known about inhaled anthrax. And Richard, first, why is inhalation anthrax so lethal?
Well, even with our daily seminars about anthrax, there's still, I think, a lot of confusion about whether this is a different form. It's really the same bacterium that causes either the skin form or the lung form. It's just that the inhalation anthrax is caused by a bacterium that enters through the lungs and lodges very deeply. And this bacterium reproduces very quickly, and it causes a much more lethal disease, partly because of that. The skin anthrax disease, if untreated, is lethal in about 20 to 30% of the cases, whereas this form, inhalation, would be invariably lethal, the experts say, if untreated. The reason it occurs is that what's going on in the lungs is that the immune system picks up these bacteria, picked up the spores in the bacteria, and transports them to the area lymph nodes, where they reproduce so rapidly that they overwhelm the system. They double in population every 25 minutes or so. And by the time a human or an animal dies of anthrax, there are about 1 billion of these bacteria in every few drops of blood.
Well, as you say, in inhalation anthrax, obviously the spore enters the body through the lungs. We've heard of some people showing up at hospitals with symptoms of pneumonia. What is the relationship between anthrax and pneumonia?
It's actually not a pneumonia. It does begin in the lungs where the spores are inhaled, and it sort of shows up as if it were a lung disease with shortness of breath and a dry cough. But the lungs are not what doctors call a target organ of the disease. In fact, with anthrax disease, there is no one target organ. Once the bacteria begin cranking out toxin, and once the bacteria begin also to break into the bloodstream, as they do, they're carried everywhere, and they damage the lining of the brain, which causes meningitis-like symptoms that Mr. Stevens suffered in Florida. They damage the kidneys, the lungs, and it's, I say, the toxin that's really doing all this damage. And that's an important point because the antibiotics that are given after a certain point don't work because the toxin is overwhelming the system, and the antibiotics kill the bacterium, but they don't counter the effect of the toxin.
Now, what is the best available answer at this point to this question? Were the spores that apparently people had contact with in Senator Daschle's office, in the Hart Senate Office Building, were they in a more dangerous form than those that were found in Florida or those that were found at NBC?
It certainly looks that way. I think we're not being fully told what the investigators may know about the nature of the material that showed up in Senator Daschle's mail and the material in the post office. But it certainly suggests that the circumstantial evidence that we're seeing from these cases and the widening circle of cases suggests that the material in this case is more easily dispersed in the air than the material that was first located in the American Media Building in Boca Raton, Florida. There's a lot of confusion about what may be meant by the term weapons-grade anthrax. True weapons-grade anthrax probably has been encapsulated in coatings that make them easily dispersed and stable and non-sticky and able to be sprayed by certain devices. And maybe this isn't weapons-grade, whatever is meant by that, but it does seem to be in a form that's more easily dispersed. And then that suggests that, you know, that there are big questions about whether there's more stuff of this sort out there in somebody's hands that can cause more of these episodes.
Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome.
NPR health correspondent Richard Knox.